بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My respected brothers and my sisters in Islam, welcome to our tafsir of Juz Tabarak. Alhamdulillah, we have only 5 surahs to go before we finish off this Juz, Alhamdulillah, and 5 very, very beautiful surahs, Alhamdulillah. Today we have Surah Muzammil, and Surah Muzammil is all about Salah, as we're going to come to inshallah. Then comes Surah Muddathir, Alhamdulillah, Surah Muddathir is all about those evil people that used to mock Rasulullah and plotted and planned against us, against the Prophet. So Surah Muzammil is all about the enemies of Allah, okay? And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning them and how He's going to punish them, okay? So tomorrow is all about the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that try to cause distress to the Muslimin. And tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about how Allah will punish them. Then comes Surah Qiyamah, which is all about death and at the moment of death, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us all about death and the moment that the angel of death will come to take our souls away. After that comes Surah Insan, which is all about Jannah, well, mashallah. Surah Insan is one of the most detailed and most exquisite descriptions of Jannah, mashallah, tabaraka, in the whole Quran. Very beautiful surah, all about Jannah. And you feel the love of Allah when you read Surah Insan, how much He loves His creation and He wants to reward His creation. And of course, finally, we end with Al-Mursalat. Mursalat will be about the signs of the Day of Judgment, inshallah. Okay? So, very beautiful, alhamdulillah, very beautiful. Each surah has a purpose, each surah has a very beautiful meaning. And when you recite it, inshallah ta'ala, you should really feel the tafsir of it. Today we have with us one of the very earliest surahs ever revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the very earliest surahs ever revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Surah Muzammil. In fact, the scholars of tafsir, they say, as reported in Al-Qurtubi and other tafsirs, very first surah to be revealed was Surah Alaq. Then the very next surah to be revealed, the second surah to be revealed, was Surah Muzammil. Then came Surah Muddathir, which is tomorrow's surah, inshallah. Then came Surah Duha. Okay? Surah Duha was number 4, according to many of the ulama of Islam. Of course, they differ exactly how they all came down, but what is well known is that this was the second surah to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had revelation from Jibreel alayhi wasallam. After many, many months, some say 6, some say 8 months of being in the cave of Hira, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had revelation come down to him. He was not expecting it. He was simply looking at the stars and gazing at the moon and thinking about why Allah created him and what his purpose of his life was. And suddenly this angel came and said, read in the name of Allah azza wa jalla. And then he ran down, leaving all his provisions, leaving all his clothes and every other food and every other item behind in the cave of Hira. He ran down, coming to his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me up, cover me up. Why? Because indeed, I think I'm becoming mad. I've seen something which is very frightening. And he told her the story. At that point, the Prophet ﷺ always used to love to cover himself up. We don't know whether that was the very point at which the surah was revealed. But what we do know is that very soon afterwards, the Prophet ﷺ kept on covering himself and wrapping himself up in this garment, because he always thought that something was going to come up from him, because the way Jibreel came was from on top. Came down from the sky, came down and then hugged him. So he thought something would come down from the top. What he used to do is to cover himself up in a garment and wrap himself up, and she would shiver, almost in fear. Not in cold, actually cold, but actually shivering from fear of what had happened to him. So it was in this situation that this surah was revealed. Ya akhwati, the message of this surah is all about tahajjud prayer. The message of this surah is all about tahajjud prayer. It's all about strengthening your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam need right after he got his revelation? What was the most important thing he needed? He needed to establish his connection with Allah Azawajal. So if the surah is all about the Hajj prayer, if the very second surah that was revealed to Rasulullah was all about the Hajj prayer, imagine how important the Hajj is to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, if you're feeling like your connection with Allah is not strong, if you're feeling like you've got this emptiness in your heart, if you're feeling like there's something missing in your life, then it probably is the Hajj prayer. Because this is something which the Prophet ﷺ was told very early on to establish his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why, ikhwati, tahajjud prayer is so critical in our lives. There was an uncle that I used to know, a family friend of mine, who mashallah tabarakallah, he was an Indian uncle, as you know, he used to speak Indian English, you know, broken English. Hello, how you doing? I'm doing very well, thank you. You know, it's very, very Indian English, okay? Very Indian accent, very strong. But in Australia, okay, this uncle is in Australia with a very, very Indian English. But subhanAllah, he converted more people than all of these other da'is put together. He has converted more people to Islam. And these are the white Australians. He has converted more people to Islam than anyone that I know of. Whether it be the big du'a that we know of. No, he's converted more than them all. SubhanAllah, how? And I was surprised, uncle, how do you even speak to them, you know? Don't they laugh at you when you speak, uncle? I mean, how can you even speak to them? So what is your secret, uncle? What do you tell them? Because very easily, uncle would tell them, my son, accept Islam. And then he'd say, Ashhadu Allah, ilaha illallah. Okay, and the people would be accepting Islam very quickly. So I said, uncle, what was your secret? So I remember uncle telling us, he said, Beta, I've got no secret at all, except that I have never ever missed my tahajjud prayer. I cannot recall a day where I have missed my tahajjud prayer. Right, and he just cries to Allah at night. He said, Ya Rab, I'm an only one person. I can't even speak properly, and I can't even talk properly. As you know, people mock my language. Oh Allah, how will I ever give dawah? And he used to make dua to Allah in his tahajjud prayer, that's it. Ya Ikhwani, the Prophet ﷺ said in more than 70 authentic hadith, until Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said this is mutawatir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the last third, in the last third of the night, he comes down to the last heavens. And he says, who is there that is asking from me so that I may give him? Who is there that is asking for my repentance so I may give that to him? Who is there asking for my forgiveness so that I may give it to him? Ya Ikhwani, can you imagine how close Allah comes down? Can you imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attentive to your dua? And not only that, imagine every day, everyone's making dua, so Allah's paying attention to everyone's dua. But when you are asleep, no one is making dua except for those one or two human beings that are standing up the night making dua to Allah. So Allah has your full attention. You have Allah's full attention because you know in that country, only a very few handful are making dua to Allah at that depth of the night. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's the prime opportunity to connect with Allah Azawajal, to ask Allah what you want, to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy, to ask Allah to forgive you on the day of judgment, to give you respite from the punishment of the grave. Anything you want from Allah, ask in your tahajjud prayer. And the ikhwati, if this is what is missing in our lives, then we're missing something very great. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, he used to say, بِئْسَ رَجُلٍ سُوْ لَا يَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ بِئْسَ رَجُلٍ سُوْ لَا يَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ, he used to say. And he said this not about anyone, but except a student of knowledge. Every one of you is a student of knowledge here. Imam Ahmed was asked this question by Salih, his son. In his book, Manaqib ibn Imam Ahmed, it was reported that his son Salih asked him this question, Ya Imam, what do you say about a talib al-ilm la yaqum al-layl? He doesn't stand up at night to pray. So he said, Bi'sa rajulin su, what an evil man is that man who does not stand up at night to pray and he wants to gain knowledge. How do you expect to gain knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you expect? What sort of success do you expect? What sort of knowledge do you expect? You don't stand up in the night for prayer? Ya Ikhwani, you have to stand the night in prayer. You have to make a resolve. You have to make a resolve to stand the night in prayer. And inshallah, what I will do is by the end of the tafsir of this surah, after inshallah you're convinced for the need to pray tahajjud, what I will do inshallah is I will tell you how I started to pray tahajjud, what I did. Because I was like you, or I was like many people out there who hated tahajjud. I couldn't make it. I couldn't do it. And you know what I used to tell myself? it's okay, I'm busy, I'm a da'i. I used to tell myself, it's okay, I'm busy, or I'm a student of knowledge, I'm busy, I've got this Sheikh Shamqiti's class to go into Medina, and I've got that Sheikh and this Sheikh, and Medina's hot and whatever else, I'm busy, I have to sleep, so I can get up in the morning and have strength and energy to go to, you know, to the Jami'ah in the morning. And subhanAllah, I realized that it was the deception of the shaitan. So I'll tell you how I started, and I'll tell you the way that I started, and I hope that inshaAllah, perhaps through that story, you can also start and fall in love with tahajjud prayer again, inshaAllah. It's okay to hate tahajjud. It's okay to hate tahajjud initially. It's okay. In fact, the greatest of the ulama used to dislike tahajjud prayer. Greatest of the ulama. I remember reading the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. He said, for 10 years I hated tahajjud prayer. 10 years I hated it, but he still prayed it. But I hated it, meaning I couldn't tolerate it. I was like, tahajjud again. All right, Allah, what, you know? For 10 years, he used to hate it, but he still prayed it for 10 years. Then the next 10 years, I tolerated it. He said what? I tolerated it. Okay, I didn't hate it anymore, but I tolerated it. Khalas, okay, all right, tahajjud, time for tahajjud. Like, I have to pray dhuhr, I have to pray asr, khalas, I have to pray tahajjud. So he tolerated it for the next 10 years. And then he said, for the next 10 years, I fell in love with it. MashaAllah. For the next 10 years, I fell in love with it. So, ikhwati, don't expect that every ibadah becomes sweet for you from the very beginning. Every ibadah has its difficulty. Not every ibadah is easy, ikhwati. It presents difficulty to us. We have to struggle and strive with our bodies until we fall in love with our ibadah. And it takes time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He blesses you with the sweetness of liking one ibadah, this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's read about why tahajjud was the strength of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the coolness of his eyes, through this beautiful surah, Surah Muddathir. The scholars of Islam, they say that the first 19 verses of Surah Muddathir was revealed in Makkah. Then they say that the last verse, which is Surah Muddathir, verse number 20, only 20 verses of Surah Muzzammil, Surah Muzzammil, the very last verse of Surah Muzzammil was revealed in Medina. Okay, so for 13 years, Allah revealed the first 19 verses, and then He revealed the final verse of Surah Muzzammil at the end of the Prophet ﷺ, towards the end of his revelation, and that was in Medina. Just to show you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept obligating tahajjud prayer upon the Muslimin. Because in the last verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes tahajjud prayer not obligatory. In the first few verses, He makes it obligatory on everyone, every Muslim to pray. But in the last verse, He removes the obligation. Okay? So let's see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made tahajjud prayer so beloved to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most merciful to all human beings and all creation, specifically merciful to believers only. Ar-Rahim, the one who is specifically merciful to the believers only. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, oh, the one who is wrapped up in a garment. So, muzzammil means the one who is wrapped up. Zammiluni means to cover up. Zamala is to cover, okay? So it is to cover, and what the scholars mention is that the Prophet ﷺ used to cover his garment, which is his robe, or he used to cover using his mattress, or the cover of the mattress he used to cover, until he used to put it all around his face as well, until he was covering all around like this. His eyes would be seen, but almost like this, as you can see, okay? This is how you're covered up in a garment. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Can you see how Allah sees everything? Can you see how Allah is seeing him, and even as he is covering himself up with a garment? Isn't it amazing? Wallahi, when I read these verses, I get the shivers on my spine that Allah is looking at us right now. I mean, look at the verse. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْجَأَهُ الْأَعْمَى. He turned away and he frowned. Wow, Allah was looking at his facial expression. Allah looks at your facial expression, how you are sitting, how you are looking, how you are yawning or not yawning, what attention you're paying. Allah is looking at you at this very moment in time. How special is that, wallahi? How special? So Allah says, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, oh, the one covered up in garments. The scholars of tafsir said, can you feel the love of Allah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That He did not call him by his first name, that He did not call him by Nabi or Prophet. He called him by a very sweet expression. Oh, the one wrapped up in a garment. Yeah? So how beautiful is that, isn't it? Just like Rasulullah when he went to Abu Huraira, yeah, and he was carrying a little cap. He said, "Ya Abu Huraira," okay, yeah. And then of course, for example, when brother of Anas, whose name was Abu Umair, again Rasulullah went up to him, "Ya Abu Umair, ma fa'ala al-Nughair." Authentic hadith in Bukhari. So it's with love. So this is an expression of love, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressing love to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by calling him by how he was, the state he was, which is, oh, the one who is beautifully wrapped up in a garment. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Straight into action, straight into an order. What is the command of Allah? Stand up, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ. All of the night. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Except for a little bit. The scholars understood this to mean that the Prophet ﷺ was asked to pray all of the night. Illa qalila means except for the Isha prayer. Meaning between Maghrib to Isha is that time of the night when he's just prayed Maghrib, just prayed Isha, and he's not praying in between, about 50 minutes. They said that in Medina, the time between Maghrib and Isha is roughly 50 minutes. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, it means pray all the night after Isha, stand up the night, do not stop until the Fajr Adhan comes. Allahu Akbar. That's what how the scholars understood this verse to mean. Meaning right after Asr, right after Isha, stand up the night and pray. Ajeeb, isn't it? Ajeeb, wallahi. Ajeeb, how much Allah has asked him to pray. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So, ikhwati, have you thought about this question? I keep thinking about it. Why does Allah want him to pray so much? The only answer I come up with is Allah must love the salah so much. Allah must love the salah so much. Have you thought about this? When the Prophet went up to the seventh heavens and he had Isra al-Miraj, correct? How many salah did Allah ask him to do first? 50. I mean, was Allah joking with him? Was it a joke? No, Allah doesn't joke. Allah was serious when he said 50, right? So okay, let's say the Prophet did not come down and meet Musa alayhi salam. I mean, we all have to thank Musa, right? On the day of judgment, say, Musa, Zakallah khair. You brought it down from us. Imagine if Musa did not meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet came back. 50 prayers. What does 50 prayers mean in a day? This is by calculation. Listen to my calculation. How many hours do we normally sleep in a day? It's between 6 hours. Physiologically, you need 5.6 hours. You don't need more than that. But let's say you sleep for 6 to 8 hours, right? Correct? 8 hours. If you sleep for 8 hours, for 24 hours, you've got 16 hours left. 16 hours to divide 50 prayers. Can you do the sums? What's 50 divided by 6? Approximately 3. 2 point something, but approximately 3, correct? 3, approximately, is it right? Am I maths right? Yeah, 3 something, sorry, not 2 point something. 3 point something, correct? 3 point something prayers every hour. How long does it pray to pray Asr prayer now? 10 minutes, okay? If you're reciting قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أُحَدًا قُلْ أَوْ رَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, خَلَاص, 10 minutes, no problem. Okay, so it takes 10 minutes to recite your prayer. That means for 16 hours in a day, you would be saying your prayer, then waiting for 10 minutes. Then saying your prayer, then waiting for 10 minutes. Then praying again, and then 10 minutes. And all of this, in this way, for 16 hours, and then so exhausted that you'll be going to sleep for 8 hours. Then waking up again to start the same thing. Salah. Then 10 minute wait. Salah and then 10 minute wait. Salah and then 10 minute for the rest of your life. Meaning this is why Allah created us. Ya Akhi al-Aziz, Ya Habibi, Allah didn't create you to be an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer or IT specialist or mechatronics or whatever other sophisticated thing you're doing. No, it was only meant as a tool. Stop making this the goal of your life. Stop making this the purpose of your existence. Stop making this the only reason why you're here. This is only a means and a tool, nothing else. Your whole purpose was to worship Allah. That was it. That's why Allah told Rasulullah, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. All of the night, except for that little bit which you already don't pray between Maghrib and Isha. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Then Allah brought it down. نِصْفَهُ. Half of it then. أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا, or little less than half, one third of the night. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, then Allah goes back again. Or increase upon it. Meaning, no, don't increase. Meaning increase. Meaning Allah loves us so much, He's telling him back, أوزد عليه, all increase upon it. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, and recite the Quran in a beautiful recitation. Tartil means to recite the Quran, giving every single harf of the Quran its due haqq. Okay? Means every single harf of the Quran is due haqq. I asked my Shaykh, Shaykh, how did the Prophet ﷺ used to recite the Quran? What sort of melody did the Prophet have? So our Shaykh used to say the Prophet ﷺ used to raise his voice and lower it, raise his voice and lower it. So, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So he would go up and down, up and down, up and down. That's what has been authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ. طيب إخواني؟ طيب. So this is tartil, to recite the Quran in a beautiful recitation, to beautify our voices with the Quran, and to beautify the Quran with our voices. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, to recite the Quran tartila. Incidentally, ya ikhwani, it is also the sunnah of the Ahl al-Hadith. By Ahl al-Hadith, I don't mean the Ahl al-Hadith in India. By Ahl al-Hadith, I mean the scholars of Hadith throughout the ages, that they would recite the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tartila as well. In fact, I remember in Medina, when I used to read to Sheikh our mashayikh in our university, we had, you know, for example, the Hadith class, or for example, in the class of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, who was a scholar of Hadith scholar of Medina, we used to recite the Hadith tartila. We used to say, "An Jabir ibn Abdullah alayhi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, annahu qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم." And then we'll go on. Okay, so we would recite the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tartila as well. Okay, and in fact, that is the sunnah of the Salaf al-Salih. It is the way of the Salaf al-Salih that they would recite not only the ayah of the Quran, but also the Hadith tartila as well. Very beautiful in a tartila form. طيب. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Verily, I am going to put upon you a heavy qawl, a heavy statement. The scholars of tafsir said this is true physically as well as metaphorically. Metaphorically, the knowledge of Islam is very heavy. The responsibility of the messengership is very heavy. Correct? But physically, it's very heavy as well. In fact, it is authentically reported that Prophet ﷺ once was sitting down with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was sitting next to him, and the Prophet ﷺ's leg was on top of Abu Bakr's leg as well. So his thigh was on top of the thigh of Abu Bakr. And Jibreel alayhi salam came down on Rasulullah ﷺ and hugged him and gave him the Quran, whatever verse of Quran was being revealed at that time. And Abu Bakr said, "Wallahi, I felt as if my leg was about to break." It is also for this reason why Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says that Rasulullah ﷺ was given the strength of 30 camels. He was given the strength of 30 camels in order to take the weight and the heaviness of Jibreel when Jibreel comes down to give him the message of the Quran. So, inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila, verily we are going to reveal to you a heavy word, meaning physically it's heavy, and metaphorically the responsibility of the Quran is also extremely heavy, no doubt. And that's why Allah says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصدعا من خشية الله. If we reveal this Quran on a mountain, you'd see the mountain bowing. The scholars of tafsir said, As-Sa'di rahimahullah, the scholars of tafsir said, the mountain would bow not only from the fear of Allah, but also from the heaviness of the Quran being revealed on its back. In fact, we know that on the night of Laylatul Qadr, the Quran was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one of the nights of Laylatul Qadr, all in one go, in one night. And it was brought down by 70,000 angels. In the authentic hadith in Bukhari, it is reported that on one of the Laylatul Qadr, the whole Quran was brought down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps it was one of the later or the last Laylatul Qadr, towards the end of the Prophet's life, when it was totally brought down. And the Prophet said that 70,000 angels had to carry the Quran, because the weight of the Quran was so heavy, ya ikhwati. Right? Because nothing is heavier than the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is heavier than the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Verily, we're going to give you a heavy, weighty responsibility. Also, ikhwani, the scholars of tafsir also mentioned that therefore, the one who has memorized the more Quran, He will weigh heavier on the day of judgment. Today, we weigh heavier if we are fat. On the day of judgment, if you are fat, you will still not weigh heavy at all. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith that on the day of judgment, a very, very fat man, perhaps a sumo wrestler, will be brought on the day of judgment, and he will not even weigh, his weight will not even be the weight of an atom. In another authentic hadith, he said, whilst he saw, as you know, the hadith which is authentic, the Prophet ﷺ saw the Sahaba laughing. He said, what are you laughing at? And they saw Ibn Mas'ud climbing the date palm tree. And when he was climbing the date palm tree, his izar had risen up. And they could see his legs, and his legs were very thin. So they were laughing, saying, look at how thin his legs are. They were laughing at how thin his legs are. So the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and said, are you laughing at his legs? He said, wallahi, they are heavier than the mountain of Uhud on the day of judgment. Wallahi, they are heavier than the mountain of Uhud on the day of judgment. And that is why the scholars of Aqeedah, they state, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says in his Nuniyah, that on the Mizan, two things will be weighed. Your book of deeds, and your deeds will be weighed, and you will be weighed as well. You will be weighed as well. So your weight will be by the amount of Quran that you know. Because the more Quran you memorize, the heavier you will be. The less Quran you memorize, the less heavy you will be. And so your sins will outweigh you, ya ikhwani. So if you want to win the battle of the weighing of the scales, then make yourselves heavy by memorizing the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not die before you memorize the Quran. Ya ikhwani, I came across yesterday a very important statistic, okay? And that statistic is as follows. Actually, one of my friends shared this with me. How many hours does a single person spend studying one degree? So, Kutayba is studying mechatronics, is that right? Electrical engineering. How many hours are you studying in this university to get your degree? On average, Kutayba will study on average about 4,000 hours to get an undergraduate degree, okay? 4,000 hours. How long does it take for a typical person to memorize the Quran? 1,600 hours only. So he is spending, Kutayba, you are spending 4 years of 4,000 hours to study a degree, which is, with all due respect, you might not even use it. You might go take a marketing job or an IT job or a CEO job or something else. You might not even use it. But the Quran, if you spend that time to memorize the Quran, you would have done it in 2 years or less than 2 years on average. And that would be only 1,600 hours. It tells you where our importance lies, isn't it? It tells you where our priorities are, ikhwani. Where is your priority? Where is your priority? Subhanallah. What a shame. Today our degrees have more priority than memorizing the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It should bring shame to us, ikhwani. Let this be a reminder that no, the Quran has more weight. Our degrees will be useless on the day of judgment. Halak anni sultaniya. My sultan, which is my status, my titles have all left me. My degrees have all left me. This will all leave you. Only thing that will remain is the weight of Allah's book in your heart. And that is what will be weighed on the day of judgment. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Inna nashi'ata laylihi ashaddu wata'an wa aqwa muqila. Then Allah tells him why he should pray at night. And this is the justification. What is the justification? Inna nashi'ata layli. Nashi'a means the activities. Verily, the activities of the night or the actions or ibadah that are done at night, hiya ashaddu wata'an. It is more firm for your heart. Wa aqwa muqila. And more stronger in statement. Meaning, more stronger in witness for you on the day of judgment. So the acts of ibadah that you do at the depths of the night are more beautiful, more stronger for you, for your iman, and more weightier on your witness on the day of judgment. Ikhwani, this is a very important question to you all. Very important question. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, it is obligatory on every single Muslim to have a wird between him and Allah for every single day. What does he say? What did he say? He said a wird. What does a wird mean? A wird in Arabic means a special deed that is secret between him and Allah only every day. Okay? Can you tell me whether Allah has accepted your Jumu'ah prayer today or not? Can you tell me whether Allah has accepted this ibadah of yours, learning this tafsir of this Quran? Can I tell myself that Allah will accept my teaching you this tafsir of this Quran? No guarantees, Ya Ikhwani. No guarantees at all. No guarantees at all. And that is why Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, used to say, "Kullu amalin amiltuhu amama an-nas fala ahsibuha shay'a." He said, every action I've done in front of people, I do not consider it to be anything. One of the great scholars of Islam by the name of Ibrahim al-Dustawai says, as reported by al-Dhahabi in Sir Alam al-Nubula, al-Dhahabi reports, go back to Sir Alam al-Nubula of this scholar of hadith by the name of Ibrahim al-Dustawai. In that Sir Alam al-Nubula, he says, Qala Ibrahim al-Dustawai, he made a statement. What did Ibrahim al-Dustawai say? He said, Wallahi la astati an aqula inni talabtu ilma al-hadith yawm al-qatl wajhi Allah. He said, Wallahi, I cannot say of a surety that I sought the knowledge of hadith for even one day purely for the sake of Allah. This is a scholar of hadith saying, I cannot guarantee my intention. 100% guarantee of your intention, I don't have. And then al-Dhahabi said, Wallahi wala ana. He said, I swear by Allah, even I cannot say that I sought the knowledge of hadith even for one single day for the pure face of Allah. So Ikhwani, how do you build ikhlas? How do you ensure your deeds are accepted by Allah? By doing those deeds that are done at the depths of night when no one can see you. When even your wife doesn't know you woke up. And if you don't have a wife, no one else knows that you're awake except you and Allah Azza wa Jalla. No one else knows except Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is why Inna nashi'at al-layl, verily the ibadah of the night, hiya ashaddu waq'an, is more stronger for you, for your iman, wa aqwa muqila, and stronger witness for you on the day of judgment. So don't leave the night prayer. It is the only surest ikhlas that you have. Only surest deed you can have ikhlas. Otherwise, all of these things you are doing in front of people. No guarantee you can have ikhlas. But the night prayer, no one is looking. You know you can have ikhlas at that point. You know you can, because no one knows about it except you and Allah. And that is why Allah says, "Inna nashi'at al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila." And then Allah says, "Inna laka fi an-nahari sabhan tawila." In the morning, on the other hand, whilst the night is so better for you, but in the morning, "Inna laka fi an-nahari," in the morning for you, sabhan tawila. Sabhan means too many activities. Tawila, long activities, meaning long distractions. In the morning is too many distractions. In the morning you've got to go and buy shopping, you've got to go and pay your rent, you've got to go and listen to your job, you can go and work for a boss. You've got to do so many things. At night is the pure, unadulterated attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna laka fi an-nahari sabhan tawila wadhkur isma rabbika. So finally Allah says, so remember the name of your Lord, meaning Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, meaning remember Allah, remember the dhikr of Allah. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ, remember the name of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا, and come back to Allah with a beautiful coming. Wallahi, when I read this verse, it's like, Sayyidina Salam, our Lord is waiting for us to turn to Him. And He is saying, come back to me, O my slave, with a beautiful coming. Meaning, come back to me in the beautiful way. Remember my name in the depths of night. Because I know you and I'm looking after you. So come back to me and remember me at the depths of the night. Wallahi, when I read this verse, it sends shivers down my spine. That my Lord and your Lord, your God is asking you, come back to Him. He is waiting for you. In the authentic hadith, Ya Ikhwani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Wallahi, Allah would hate to punish any one of you in the fire, just like the mother would hate to punish his own children. Allah hates to punish you. He doesn't want to punish you. Allah did not create you to punish you. Ya Ikhwani, let me ask you this important question. I remember this atheist one asked me this question in Australia once. He said, so you Muslims believe in God. Yes, yes we do. So why did God create you? Why? You know, the eternal question, the why. So what's the answer? What's the answer? What are you going to say? Most of us are going to reply the same answer that we say in Surah Dhariyat, which is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created mankind and jinn except to worship me. But I've got a really important question for you. How long is this life compared to the hereafter? Nothing, right? 70 years compared to the hereafter, which is huge, right? Nothing. In the hereafter, is any salah? No. Any jihad? No. Any hajj? No. Any tahajjud? No. Any qiyam al-layl? No. Any zakat? No. Sadaqah? No. Siyam? No. So if Allah created us for just worship, why is it that all of our life, our eternal life, will not be worshipping Him at all? We'll be just enjoying our life in Jannah, inshallah. Reality is, Allah didn't just create us for worship. Yes, that's true. That's the basic purpose. But the essential reason why Allah created you and me is to be with Him in Jannah. That's why Allah created you. Think about it. If Jannah is going to be eternal, if Jannah is no sleep, if Jannah is all joy and entertainment, if Jannah is no ibadah, no salah, no zakat, no nothing at all, if Jannah is just enjoyment, isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preparing us for something else? The reason why Allah created you and me is so that we can be with Him in Jannah. That's the real reason. So, Ya Ikhwani, my Lord, and your Lord is asking you to come back to Him. Do not disappoint Him. Do not leave Him waiting and asking and thinking your salah, your sleep is more important. Pleasing Allah and having a feeling in your heart that I'm connected with Allah is even more important than anything else. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, the Lord of the East and the West, meaning the Lord of everything that is there. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Take Him as your wakil. Meaning the main reason, ya akhwani, the main benefit, after your iman increasing, after all your iman increasing, the main benefit why we should pray tahajjud is so that we can grow in tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, ikhwani, our tawakkul is low. We have very little tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll prove to you that right now. I'll prove to you tawakkul is low. Who has a car here? Who has a car? You have a car? Akhi, I want your car. I want your car. I want to give it away in charity. See, the brother's smiling already. He's going to smile. I mean, is that a smile of happiness? I said, MashaAllah, the brother's going to give my car to charity. Is it a smile of happiness? Or is it a smile of disbelief, of embarrassment? Which one? Inshallah, the first one. The point I'm trying to make, Ya Akhwani, is if our tawakkul was strong enough, we would not care. If our tawakkul was strong enough, we would not care. We would not care. Because the reality is, Ya Akhwani, the source that provides for us is always the same. Today we depend more on where the money comes than the one who truly provides the money. And that is why if you work for Petronas, I'm sure you agree. If you work for Petronas, that CIMB doesn't pay for your salary, does it? No. If you work for Petronas, Petronas pays for your salary, correct? So if you work for Allah, Allah pays for your salary. Remember that. Everything else is simply a means for that salary to come to you. Your job, your someone dying in your family is only a means for your risk to come to you. Nothing else. They're not the providers. So, ikhwani, increasing your tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know what the scholars of tafsir say? They say that your tawakkul is not perfect until you believe that which is with Allah is more certain than the money that is in your pocket. Your tawakkul is not perfect until you believe that which is with Allah is more certain than the money that you have in your pocket. Subhanallah. Amazing tawakkul, isn't it? That's why, ikhwani, that's why we are so far away from Allah Azza wa Jal. We've got to work on our tawakkul. We've got to work on our tawakkul. We've got to give money away when giving away is the most toughest. We've got to give charity when giving charity is the most toughest. Because that is the day when you truly have tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal. When charity is the most difficult and you're in debt and you have no more money to even pay for your bills, that is the day you should go and find some money and give it to the poorest person. and say, Ya Rabbi, help me. Ya Akhwani, if we don't do that, how are we going to take on this challenge? How are we going to take on this world? How are we going to take on this challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us? So my brothers, my sisters in Islam, let us increase in our tawakkul. Make a conscious effort to increase in tawakkul. Conscious effort. And the best way to do so is to give more and more charity. To give more and more charity in the cause of Allah. Every time you feel like I don't have money, let that be the day that you increase in charity in the cause of Allah. And you will see your tawakkul increasing on that day. And increasing in your tahajjud prayer. Because when you do that, you will see your tawakkul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increasing on that day. And if you don't increase in tawakkul, do you know what's going to happen? Do you know the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ? I know people, when we talk about tawakkul, they say, yeah, it's very difficult to achieve. And they almost leave it. But let me tell you this. Do you know the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, which is authentic in Abu Dawud? The Prophet ﷺ said, 70,000 of my ummah will go to Jannah biduni hisab. No hisab. Automatic entry into Jannah. Go on. And so the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, manhum? Ya Rasulullah, who are they? So the Prophet ﷺ said, they are the ones who la yastarqoon wa la yatatayyaroon wa la yaktawoon wa ala rabbihim yatawakkaloon. Four things. Okay? La yaktawoon. La yaktawoon. What does that mean? Kawi means to iron. Kawi in this hadith means to cauterize. You know, you used to burn a metal and you burn yourself. So cauterization was a way that the Prophet ﷺ, before the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, people used to cure themselves. But our religion has forbidden that. So no cauterization, not allowed. Meaning because there is punishment that you punish your body and you burn parts of your body. That's haram. Okay? So don't do kawi. La yaktawun. Wala yatatayyaroon. What is yatatayyaroon? Tatayyur means, no. Ta'ira means, yeah, flying. Tatayyur means that they seek soothsayers, magicians, and seeking the advice of kahana, which is the soothsayers, okay? La yastarqoon. La yatatayyaroon. And the third thing he said is la yastarqoon. What does istirqa means? Istirqa is talabur ruqya. Talab means to seek. Ruqya, what is ruqya? To read the Quran. So istirqa means that I'm not asking you, akhi, you know what, I'm feeling really bad. I think the jinns possess me. Can you read the Quran to me, please? Read the Quran upon me. فَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ Istirqa means to ask someone to read the Quran to you. To read the Quran upon you. So why not? Because you are asking someone for their help. That is why this is wrong. You should do ruqya on yourself. You should recite قُلُ اللَّهُ وَحَدَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And then doing ruqya on yourself. When you feel bad, I've got this heart, I'm feeling bad. اللهم أذهب الباس لا يشفي أنت الشافي. You know, read all the du'as upon yourself. You do not ask anyone else to recite to you. And that is why the scholars of Islam say, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, it is makruh to ask anyone to make dua for you. It is makruh to ask anyone to make dua for you. We do this all the time. Akhi, I've got exams. Please, please, akhi, make dua to Allah for me. Please, bhai. And you know, if we find, especially in our countries, you know, in our countries, it's such a common thing. Yeah? Please, mashallah, you're a musalli. You're going to Makkah, Medina. Please make dua for me. Allah, yadik, make dua for yourself. How about this? We'll make a deal. You make dua for yourself, I'll make dua for myself. How's that? Okay? And that's why, ya khwani, you should make dua for yourself, not asking anyone. Why? Because even dua and asking others to make dua upon yourself is a naqs of tawakkul. Little bit of naqs of tawakkul. Why? Because you should consider that you have a direct link with Allah Azza wa Jalla. You don't even need anyone else's dua. Tayyib, ya khwani? And that is why, la yastarqoon. Meaning, they do not seek anyone's help to do ruqya upon them. They do ruqya upon themselves. To that point. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ Meaning, they perfect the tawakkul. 70,000 will enter without hisab. Do you know the Prophet ﷺ said, Anyone who Allah does munaqasha of him on the day of judgment will punish him. Allah will punish him on the day of judgment. Allah will throw him in Jahannam. Right? So we have to attain that 70,000 somehow or the other for perfecting our tawakkul. But some of you might be thinking, oh my God, that's impossible still. Because 70,000, but the number of companions who did, who went to Hajj with Rasulullah, so that's 100,000, khalas, yani, gone, chance is gone. But I've got good news for you. I've got really good news. Fantastic news, amazing news. In fact, I've got news better than the day that your mothers were delivered you. Okay? Okay, what is that news? That news is that authentic hadith reported by Musnad Imam Ahmed is that Rasulullah reported that the Prophet said, I asked Allah, my Lord, to increase the number. What did he do? The Prophet raised up his hands one night and he said, oh Allah, 70,000 is too little. Oh Allah, increase the number. So Allah replied back to him, hadith is authentic, alhamdulillah. Okay, alhamdulillah, authentic hadith. He said, with every 70,000, from which each one of the 70,000, another 70,000. Allahu Akbar. Better odds? Better odds? Better odds. But still you have to perfect the tawakkul. Otherwise you can't get on. So what's 70 times 70? I can see brothers are bringing out the calculators. 70 times 70 is what? Let me save you from it. Okay, 4.9 billion. Alhamdulillah. If there's 1.5 million Muslims, there's a good chance. There is a good chance of entering Jannah without hisab. Allahu Akbar. But not if you don't perfect the tawakkul. You must perfect tawakkul. You must rely only on Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rely only on Allah. Give sadaqah and charity away without even thinking. Right? Ya Bilal, anfiq wa la takhsha min al-arshi iqlala. Oh Bilal, give and do not be afraid the one who possesses the heavens and the earth, the mighty throne, will ever withhold from you. You will never go hungry if you depend on Allah. You will never go hungry if you depend on Allah. Allah is enough for you. Alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abda? Is Allah not enough for his slaves? Wa 'ala Allahi falyatawakkalu in kuntum mu'minin. And upon Allah put your tawakkul if indeed you're believers. Ya ikhwani, try to be from the 4.9 billion people. May Allah make me and you from them. Of those people who enter Jannah without any hisab. Ya Rab, Ya Rab, make it possible, Ya Rab. Perfect your tawakkul, otherwise there's no way you can be from that. Tayyib, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi, la ilaha illa huwa. Fattakhidhu wakeela. So take him as your wakeel and perfect your tawakkul on him. Wasbir ala ma yaqulun. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves into the benefit of after having perfected the tawakkul and strengthened your tahajjud is to prepare yourself for the onslaught of what you're going to face outside. So Allah says, wasbir, have patience with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ala ma yaqulun, about what they say, wahjurhum hajran jameela, and do hajr of them in a beautiful way, meaning leave them in a beautiful way. So is hajr permissible in Islam? Absolutely. Hajr is permissible in Islam as long as there's a maslaha behind it. The maslaha behind doing hajr has to be one of the masalih of the Quran and Sunnah. Hajr means to dissociate and to leave. So if I don't speak to you, that's hajr. If I don't talk to you, I'm looking away from you, that's hajr. I'm rejecting you. Okay? So hajr is permissible according to the ulama of Islam as long as there is a maslaha rajiha, as long as there is a specific direct benefit that the Quran and the Sunnah permit and ordain. So it is permissible to do hajr of a mubtadir. It is permissible to do hajr of a muflis. Where did the topic of hajr come? In the books of fiqh. When you look at the books of fiqh on any of the madahib, you will find a chapter of hajr, a chapter called hajr. But in that chapter of hajr comes under the chapter of buyur, chapter buying and selling, under the section of iflas, which is bankruptcy law. Okay? So chapter of hajr is actually a type of punishment given to the person who has become bankrupt. So did the Prophet ﷺ ever do hajr? Absolutely. Who did he do hajr of? He did hajr of Ka'b ibn Malik, which is after the Battle of Tabuk. the three people who did not go for the Battle of Tabuk, Hajar. He did Hajar for 50 days, and he did Hajar of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. Why? Because Mu'adh ibn Jabal had become bankrupt. At one point in his life, Mu'adh ibn Jabal had become bankrupt and he could not pay back his creditors. So Rasulullah did Hajar of him for a little while. So therefore, it is permissible to do Hajar for a maslaha rajiha, as long as the maslaha dictate that there is a benefit in this. Today, in our times, should we be doing Hajar of the Ahl al-Bidah? Well, majority of the scholars of our time say no, they don't. The reason why is because the maslaha rajiha is not there, because Ahl al-Sunnah is qaleel. When Ahl al-Sunnah is kathir, when the people of Sunnah are more, then to do Hajar, or if the Ahl al-Sunnah is strong in one area, to do Hajar of Ahl al-Bidah in that area is fine. But when Ahl al-Sunnah is less, to do Hajar of Ahl al-Bidah has no maslaha rajiha. Because Hajar is meant to be done in order to punish, not in order to protect. Hajar, the asl of Hajar is to punish. So if you are minimum in number, you're trying to do Hajar, then you're only secluding yourself from your knowledge from going out to others. So there's no maslaha rajiha in that. But if you are strong in one place to do Hajar of someone who is sinful or a mubtadi' in that place, that makes sense, inshallah. So it has to be maslaha rajiha. For more information, go back to the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, on this. طيب. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا وَذَرْنِي And leave me with who? وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ And those who lie. Those who lie is synonymous with those who do kufr, isn't it? مكذبين and كافرين are synonymous in the Quran. وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِمْ نِعْمَتِي Meaning the possessors of blessings. Those who have a lot of blessings that I have given them. أُولِمْ نِعْمَتِي وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا And give them respite for a little while until the appointed time, which is their death. Inna ladayna, verily with us is ankala. What is ankal? Ankal means every type of torture. Torture instruments. You know, have you seen how sometimes, you know, this guy's tied up and he's all tied up in the chair, and then sometimes people want to torture. Before they torture, they put out this thing that has all these types of torture. Just want to pull his nails out. That one to dig into his eyes, that one to put, you know, anyway. But I think you get the message, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Inna ladayna ankala. So on the day of judgment, the ankal will be all revealed. All the types of torture will be revealed. How Allah will torture the people who are mukaddibeen and those who are sinful sinners. Tayyib? Inna ladayna ankala wa jahima. So Jahim is a type of torture, but it has been specialized. Why? Because it is a special torture. It is the most severe of them. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, remember Surah Ma'arij, what did he say? Ta'arujul malaikatu wa ruh. Even though ruh is from the malaika, he specifies it. Takhsis. Why? Because it is special, because the ruh is Jibreel, who is the strongest and the most honored of all the angels. So Allah specifies him, honors him. So here Allah, although Jahim is from the ankal, which is the type of torture, but has been specified because it is special torture. Okay? Inna ladayna ankala wa jahima. Tayyib. Wa ta'aman dha ghussa. And food which is dha ghussa. What is ghussa? Ghussa means that food which is very difficult to swallow. Okay? Ghussa means that food that doesn't go past the food pipe. So imagine, what example shall I give you? The only example that's coming is durian. But I don't want to talk about durian because I'm sure a lot of people here like durian. But I don't know. Think of some other food sometimes. Or, you know, when you have a sore throat and then you've got a blocked nose. Sometimes, you know, the phlegm is going down and it's stuck in your throat. Right. Ta'aman dha ghussa is the food that gets stuck in your throat. You can't vomit it out, nor can you swallow it. It's stuck in your throat. Okay? So, inna ladayna ankala wa jahima wa ta'aman dha ghussa. I can't vomit and I can't swallow. I can't vomit, I can't even swallow. So that is the food. That is the food that Allah has created. وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا And a very, very severe punishment. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الْأَرْضُ On that day, rajif means to shake. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الْأَرْضُ When the earth will shake. وَالْجِبَالُ And the mountains will shake. وَكَانَتِ الْجِبَالُ كَثِيبًا مَهِيلًا And because of that shaking, the mountains will become like dust. okay, like sand in an hourglass, you know, flowing through. So imagine it shaking so hard that it is hitting each other and smashing to each other, and يَنْصِفُهَا رَبِّي نَصْفَ Allah is divided into half and smashing to each other, right? It is shaking so hard that it has almost become like sand that will simply flow through. Right? Subhanallah. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَكَانَتِ الْجِبَالُ كَثِيبًا مَهِينًا And the mountains are like sand that will simply flow through. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Quraysh and reminds them that this messenger that you're disbelieving in, and all people who disbelieve out there, this messenger that you're disbelieving in is no different from the messenger that was also sent to Fir'aun. So Fir'aun disbelieved, and you know what happened to him. So if you disbelieve, then guess what's going to happen to you. So listen to what Allah says. Amazing verse. Inna arsalna ilaykum rasula. Verily we have sent you, O Quraysh, and O disbelievers. Listen up, O people of this world, we have sent you a messenger. Shahidan alaykum, meaning the Prophet ﷺ will be a witness against us on the Day of Judgment. Seven witnesses against us or for us. One of them will be the Prophet ﷺ. So he will either witness for us or against us on the Day of Judgment. Shahidan alaykum. Kama arsalna ila fir'auna rasula. Just like we sent Fir'aun, a messenger as well. What is the difference between a messenger and a prophet? The difference between a messenger and a prophet is that a messenger was disobeyed. A prophet was never disobeyed. A prophet was sent to a people and the people believed in him. But a messenger is a messenger because he was disbelieved. So, for example, Yahya, did the people of Banu Israel believe in Yahya? They did. So was Yahya, alayhi salatu wasalam, was he a prophet or was he a messenger? He was a prophet of God. Whereas Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Banu Israel disbelieved in him, right? So therefore he was a messenger of God, Rusul. He was a Rusul and so he was from a higher level. Okay? So verily, we have sent you a messenger, just like we sent Fir'aun a messenger before. فَعَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ So Fir'aun decided to disbelieve in the messenger. فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْذًا وَبِيلًا So we took him with that firm grip. You know what does أَخْذَ وَبِيلًا means? Gripped him like this, until I crushed him up like this, and spat him out. Okay, this is أَخْذَ وَبِيلًا أخذاً وبيلا, okay? Meaning with a grip that completely takes everything out of your body and squashes you completely. أخذاً وبيلا, very strong, powerful grip. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gripped Fir'aun when he was dying. أخذاً وبيلا, subhanallah. فَعَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْذَاً وَبِيلا فَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ Look at the power of this verse. So how will you save yourselves? كَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ O people, O human beings. كَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ How will you save yourselves? إِن كَفَرْتُمْ If you were to disbelieve. يَوْمًا On that day. يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا The day which will make the hair of a child, the hair of a child turn white from fear. Yaqwani, I've got a few white hairs in my beard. They say it's from stress. Okay, this with one wife and six kids. Imagine I've got more than six white hairs from stress. Can you imagine on that day when the child's hair will become white from fear? Amazing, wallahi. Amazing day. Amazing day. Look at the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ How will you save yourselves if you don't believe in this messenger? يَوْمَ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا When the wildan, the children's hair will become shiba, will become old and gray on that day from the fear of that day. Allahu Akbar. As-samaa'u munfatirun bih. The sky has been laden and holed up with it, meaning what? With the angels praising Allah. Munfatirun bih. Kana wa'aduhu maf'oola. His promise will definitely be fulfilled. Inna hadhihi tadhkira. This is nothing but a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا Then whoever wills to believe in this message, then let him take a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, Ikhwani, we come to the longest verse and the last verse of the Quran of this surah, Surah Muzammil, verse number 20, which was revealed in Medina. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Inna rabbaka ya'lamu. Verily your Lord knows. Annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layl. That you stand up a little less than a third of the night, meaning half of the night. Yeah? Thuluthay al-layl, meaning two-thirds, so a little less than two-thirds, half of the night. Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu, that you stand up, adna min, a little less than, thuluthay al-layl, two-thirds of the night, wa nisfahu, and half of it, wa thuluthahu, and a third of it, wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak, and a group of the people from amongst you. He knows that you're already doing this. Wallahu yuqaddiru layla wa nahar. And Allah is the one who lengthens the day and the night. Meaning, it doesn't matter if it's a third or a fourth or a half or whatever. It is Allah who makes the night long or short. So it is by His ability, Allah making the night long or short, that you're able to stand up most of the night or less of the night. So therefore, if you stand up more than half of the night, don't think you're so great. Imagine those places where the night is longer. 16 hours, 20 hour nights. So just because you stood up 6 hours, don't think that therefore you are so great and you have stood up half the night. Because it is Allah who makes the night longer or shorter. So what is important is the hours you've stood up. What is not important is how many percentage of the night that you think you've stood up. How many hours, how many rak'ah have you prayed? That is what is important. Right? Wallahu yuqaddiru layla wa nahar. Alima an lan tuhsuhu. He knows that you will not be able to encompass the full night every single day of your life. Alima an lan tuhsuhu. You will not be able to encompass it. Ihsa means to encompass. An lan tuhsuhu fataba alaykum. So He forgave you. Huh? Forgave you? That's right. Ikhwani, us not praying tahajjud is Allah forgiving us. Meaning we owe this to Allah. We owe it to Allah. And when we're not praying tahajjud, it is by Allah's tawbah. Not by something an extra sunnah or whatever else. Stop thinking tahajjud is sunnah. Ya ikhwani, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he said, a person can never become a muttaqi, a person of piety, until he leaves a lot of the haram, makhafat al-wuquf fil, a lot of the halal, makhafat al-wuquf fil haram. A person cannot become a muttaqi until he leaves a lot of the halal for fear of falling into the haram. And a person can never become a muttaqi until he does a lot of the mustahab, thinking it is wajib on him. Okay? You cannot truly become muttaqi until you do the mustahab, recommended deeds, thinking it's obligatory on you. I remember, wallahi, I remember this lesson my sheikh taught me when I was praying in the Prophet's masjid. I remember once after my class, as you know, after dhuhr, you pray your dhuhr and then, you know, people tend to go. So what I did was I prayed dhuhr. I remember I got up after dhuhr and I was leaving, getting up to go. So my sheikh caught my hand. He was sitting down making dhikr. He could grab my hand. So I thought my sheikh wanted to speak to me. So I went down and said, yes, sheikh. And he said, you didn't pray your sunnah. Are you going to pray sunnah? Okay, the sunnah after dhuhr, right? The two rak'ah sunnah after dhuhr. Are you going to pray the sunnah? And you know, normally we don't pray the sunnah because we can make people think we're going to pray at home, right? That's what we do, isn't it? We're going to go back to the dormitory and pray. Correct, guys? Because we are sunnah. Sunnah is meant to be done in the. That's what we tend to tell people or convince ourselves. So I knew I couldn't lie to my sheikh. I said, no, ya sheikh. I actually had no intention to pray my sunnah. Wallahi. So my sheikh asked me this question. He said, you want to be from Ahl Sunnah and you don't even pray your sunnah? Subhanallah. Wallahi. You want to be from Ahl Sunnah, you don't even pray sunnah? How is that possible? Kif. How do you think you're going to be from Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah? You're not going to be from those all other firaq that is going to be thrown into the fire. How? If you don't even pray your sunnah? Kif jara? Kif mumkin? How? It's not possible at all. You have to keep up your sunnah prayers. Ya ikhwani, pray your sunnah in the masjid if you cannot guarantee you're going to go home and pray it. Pray it. It's better that you pray it in front of people than to not pray it at all. It is better that you pray it than to not pray it at all. And you cannot be from Ahl Sunnah unless you follow the Sunnah. Abada. And that was the day my Shaykh taught me a great lesson. That we cannot become Ahl Sunnah just by belief. We have to become Ahl Sunnah by action. We can't just say, okay, we believe in Allah on the last day and we're Iman and Qadr and we don't like the Murji'ah or the Shia or the this or that. Or, you know, we keep on saying all of that. No, that's Aqidah. What about being Ahl Sunnah by Amal, by action? It's important to become Ahl Sunnah by action as well. So do your Sunnah, ya Ikhwani. Do your Sunnah. عَلِمَ أَنْ لَنْ تُحْسُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. So recite whatever you can from the Qur'an. Recite whatever you can from the Qur'an. And that is why, Ikhwani, the length of your salah is by recitation of the Qur'an. The beauty of your tahajjud prayer is by the number of verses that you recite. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ عَلِمَ أَنْ سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى. He knows there will be sick people amongst you. مَرْضَى meaning sick. وَآخَرُونَ and others. يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They will be traveling in the land. Darab means to travel. Darab also means to hit. So why is called hitting the land called travel? Because when you're traveling, you're hitting the earth with your legs. So that's why it's called يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, meaning you're hitting the earth with your legs and you're traveling in the land. That's why يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ means traveling in the land. Okay? وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, seeking the fadl or the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning wealth and provision and business. وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and others were fighting in the cause of Allah, so they'll be weak and tired, unable to pray at night. فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ, so recite whatever you can from the Qur'an. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayer. What does أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ mean? أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ doesn't mean to just pray. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ means establish the places of prayer. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ means establish the time of prayer. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ means teach people how to pray. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ means punish people if they don't pray. Because if you're not punishing people if they don't pray, then you're not establishing the prayers. إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ يَخْوَانِي الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Those who, when we establish them in the land, they establish the prayer. What does إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ mean? It means to establish the prayer, the masajid, the times, the teaching and education, and the punishment for not praying have to be established. If you do not do these things, you have not established the prayer. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayer. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and give the zakat. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ and إِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ many times the Quran? How many times the Quran? 27 times the Quran. Allah mentions إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ and إِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ. Why? Why? Because it's very simple, Ikhwani. Prayer strengthens a relationship with Allah. Whereas charity, إِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ, which is sadaqah and charity, establishes a relationship with creation. And these are the two حقوق upon us, two obligations upon us. The حق of Allah and the حق العباد. When we fulfill both of them, we enter Jannah without any problems. So Ikhwani, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, both of them come together. And that is why, because it was mentioned 27 times, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that indeed the one who does not pay both, does not do salah or give the zakat, meaning even zakat, according to Abu Bakr, was kufr. Not give the zakat was tantamount to disbelief. Was tantamount to disbelief. And this is a very strong opinion. I remember Sheikh Safar al-Hawali, rahimahullah, hafidahullah, he told me when I asked him, saying, Sheikh, this opinion of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu about salah and zakat being so important. He said, wallahi, it's been mentioned 27 times in the Quran. So therefore, no one can disagree with it. And then he recited the verse, فَإِنْ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. And if they establish the prayer and they establish the zakat, then they're your brothers in Islam. So he recited this verse and said, it is strong, very strong opinion. But indeed, the one who doesn't pay his salah and his zakat, then he cannot be a Muslim at all. Cannot be a Muslim at all. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. And ya Ikhwani, can I also mention something very important, which I remember reading from the books of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, he said, I used to see Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah at the time of every salah that he used to give sadaqah. At the time of every salah that used to come out from his house, he would find a beggar and give some charity. So I used to ask him, Ya Sheikh, why do you give sadaqah every time coming out for salah? Is it a hadith or a sunnah? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, ya ayyuhalladhin amanu, idha najaytumur rasul faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqah. O you who believe, in Surah Mumtahina, what does he say? He says, O you who believe, if you were to go to Rasulullah to seek his counsel in a matter, then give charity before you go and seek his counsel in a matter. So Ibn Taymiyyah used to say, so Shaykh al-Islam told me, that if we are obliged to give charity before seeing Rasulullah, then to give charity before meeting Allah is even more obligatory. And then he recited the verses in the Quran, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةُ, always together. And that's why, Ikhwani, never come to salah until you also give sadaqah. And this is what I used to do. When I used to be in Medina, one of the best things I loved about Saudi Arabia was that you could just take your car, on the way you could find someone who's poor or sick, and just give 1 riyal, wallahi. Establish the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Establish the sunnah of the ulama to give charity at the time of coming out for salah. Okay? So every time, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةُ must not just be seen as zakat, the obligatory yearly charity, must be seen as regular charity that you give every time you go out for salah. Every day, do this, Ikhwani. طيب, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةُ وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, and give Allah a beautiful loan. قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, a beautiful loan. Ikhwani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us for a loan. Allah is asking us for a loan. Loan for what? Loan for the house he's building for you in Jannah. Yeah? Loan, you know how over here in Malaysia it's very common, isn't it? Builders, before they build it, they ask you to purchase off plan. So let's purchase off plan with Allah Azza wa Jal. Seriously. Purchase the Jannah off plan. But the whole point is, it's already built, by the way. You just haven't seen it. So purchase off the Quran. Purchase your homes in Jannah with your loan. Pay the mahar of your women in Jannah now. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, فَدْفَعْ مَهْرَهَا مَا دُمْتَ ذَإِنْكَانِ, pay the mahar of your wives in Jannah as long as you're able to still pay and give charity whilst you are in this dunya. So Ikhwani, give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautiful loan. Be of those people who give most of your wealth away in charity. Be of those people who are like Abu Bakr and Umar. Ikhwani, if we can have a generation of Muslimin who give so much charity just like Abu Bakr and Umar did, we will have no more need in our ummah. We will have enough money for da'wah. Today, we are suffering because we want da'wah organizations and da'is to do good, but we don't give them enough money to do good. We want good Islamic schools, don't you? Yep. We want our children to go to good Islamic schools. We want more tahfidh Quran schools. We want more people to be fed. We want Muslims to be stronger. We don't want people to be hungry in Syria or Burma or anywhere else. We want Muslim countries to be strong. You want all of these khair, but you don't want to put your money for these things. How is it possible? You would rather put your money in some investment somewhere else. If you want something, you've got to put money in it. If you want good schools, build those schools. If you want people to be fed, then put your money where your mouth is, Ikhwani. And give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goodly loan. وَأَقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, and whatever you give for yourselves, meaning it will be for yourselves, مِنْ خَيْرٍ, from goodness, تَجِدُوهُ عِنَّ اللَّهِ, you will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ خَيْرًا, that is better for you. وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا, and that is more rewarding and more profitable for you. وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ, and seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning after you've done all this, and you repented, and you've given salah, and you've given zakat, after all of this, repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. Astaghfirullah. Inna Allah ghafoorun raheem. Verily Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Allahu Akbar. Very beautiful surah about connecting with Allah Azza wa Jal. Very beautiful surah about tahajjud prayer. And Ikhwani, I ask you all so that you might connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tahajjud. I just want to finish off by telling everyone how to start tahajjud prayer. Ikhwani, one of the things I realized about tahajjud prayer is that the fear of tahajjud is worse than tahajjud itself. The fear of having to get up. It's true. The fear of, I'm going to be tired, I'm not going to be able to sleep next day. The fear of it is actually worse than the action itself. It's not. you overrate the difficulty of tahajjud. It's not that difficult at all. And in fact, what I did first when I was trying to, you know, get into this habit of tahajjud is I wrote down what stops me from tahajjud. I wrote down everything. Too tired. Can't be bothered. Too much work next day. I have to go to school next day. You know, I wrote down everything. Too much da'wah. Too many meetings at night. Okay, so I wrote every excuse. Okay, then I realized after I wrote down my excuses are really futile. I realized the biggest thing that was stopping me from tahajjud prayer was the long standing up. And I was actually tired. I really was physically tired at night, 1 or 2 o'clock or whatever, even at 12 o'clock. I was physically tired. And so what was stopping me was, I'm a big guy as well, standing up and then, you know, reciting the Quran was stopping me. Also, what was stopping me was that because I didn't have someone behind me to correct me if I recited the Quran, and I have a tendency that when I get emotional, if I recite a verse, I tend to forget which verse was it and what, and not because I'm so engrossed in the meaning of the verse or the tafsir of the verse, I'm so engrossed in it that I have like tashwish, a little bit tashwish. I realized that one of the things that was stopping me from tahajjud prayer is because there was no one behind me to correct me, okay, hafid behind me to correct me if I made a mistake. This was the second reason that was stopping me. And the third thing, of course, that was stopping me was that, you know, I hadn't really found the sweetness of tahajjud as yet. So I said, okay, I know from fiqh that if I sit down and read, it's half the reward, correct? So what I did was, you know, I got a very nice comfortable chair, you know, like the boss chair for CEOs and chairmen. I bought a really nice chair, you know, a really nice comfy one that once you just want to lie down and sit. So I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to buy a very nice chair. So I bought myself a very nice chair. And I bought myself a very, very thick carpet. When I go for sujood, big, big, thick carpet, you know, because I wanted to go nice. You know how you know when you, those carpets, when you sink halfway, when you so thick, the carpets are so thick. So I got myself a very nice fluffy carpet. So no excuse at all. Nice chair, that. And I've got my mushaf with me. We know that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to pray behind her slave, and he used to recite from the mushaf. So it's permissible to recite from the mushaf when you're reciting the tahajjud prayer. And we know the scholars of Islam say there are 38 differences between obligatory prayer and non-obligatory prayer. One of the differences out of the 38 differences is that you can grab a mushaf in your non-obligatory prayer. You can't do so in an obligatory prayer. Okay. So I thought, okay, that's fine, perfect, fantastic. So I said, one day, I said, that's it, today is going to be the day. It's just going to be the day, okay, khalas, that's it. So wife gone to sleep, alhamdulillah, no noise. Kids are off to bed, alhamdulillah, all done. I bring up my nice big fat carpet, and I bring up my nice big fat chair that I bought for myself, and I sit down, and I take my mushaf, I said, Allahu Akbar, and I'm sitting and doing it. Alif, lam, mim, dhalika al-kitab la rayba fihi wa dhalil muttaqin. So, you know, I begin reciting. And before I know it, you know what? In one rak'ah, I'd finished almost one juz. I said, you know what? That's really nice. And I'm really nice and comfy in this chair. And I'm reciting, Allahu Akbar. And then for, of course, ruku and sujood, I did that standing because that's no problem. Ruku was just a little bit. Sujood is obviously on the big fat carpet, no big deal. And then you get up and you sit down again. And then open up your Quran and you start reciting. And before I knew it, I had recited almost 2 or 3 juz of the Quran in just one rak'ah or one salah only, because it was so beautiful and so easy to do so. And I was like, subhanallah, how amazing is that? So I did it next day, I did it next day, and next day, and next day, until after a week, I didn't want the chair anymore. I just wanted to read, I wanted to stand up and read. Okay? And then I realized, you know what? My memorization was getting stronger and stronger. I didn't need to the Quran anyway. Why do I need the Quran? Said, start off with Surah Baqarah, Al Imran, whatever it is reciting. Alhamdulillah, you're reciting. So subhanAllah, ya ikhwani, sometimes what you need to do is to stop being so afraid and just do it, inshallah. And then you realize, subhanAllah, there's nothing to it. It's actually so beautiful. And by Allah, you can ask Allah for anything, beg Allah for anything. Allah will give it to you. Why won't He? He hates it when you don't ask Him. He loves it when you ask Him. So He's waiting for the moment that you ask Him, inshallah. Tayyib, and we cannot be as close to Allah as we can be in a tahajjud prayer. We know that Allah comes out of the last heavens. And we know in sujood, we are the closest we can be to Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, sujood in tahajjud, in the last third of the night, that is nothing like it, ikhwan. And amazing, wallahi. When you read the verses, you ask Allah to save you from Jannah, from Jahannam. You read the verses of Jannah, ask Allah to go to Jannah. Nothing like tahajjud prayer. So I urge you to do this. If you're having difficulty sitting, if you're having difficulty, get a really nice fat chair and get a very nice carpet and you watch. Tahajjud becomes much easier, and then slowly you won't even need these things. Tahajjud will become more beautiful to you than these creature comforts, inshallah. Okay?
La ilaha illallah.